It would take a man 1,040,256 years to do the work which one computer can perform in 84 minutes. I'll return in a moment with the amazing facts about the knowledge explosion. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. An explosion in outer space is less spectacular than on Earth because of the lack of oxygen. But if the explosion is aboard a spacecraft soaring toward the moon, the results can be even more deadly. So the eyes of the world turned heavenward when an explosion aboard Apollo 8 almost claimed the lives of the three astronauts and actually did abort their mission, you remember. The only thought then was how to get the men to Earth alive. A new course had to be plotted to bring the spacecraft back safely from 205,000 miles out in space. Scientists fed data into their computers and figured out the correct path for the crippled craft in just 84 minutes. Now, in the pre-computer age, it would have taken one man working with a pencil and paper 1,040,256 years to figure that out. And, of course, today's computers could come up with the same answer in much, much less than 84 minutes even. Yes, we're living in the midst of an explosion, not an explosion of dynamite, but an explosion of knowledge. This knowledge explosion is the subject of today's broadcast. As you know, we've been looking during the past day or so at some specific signs given in the Bible that the second coming of Jesus is very near. Now, this is a very important series, friends, and one that you'll not want to miss. We'll be continuing with this subject for the next few days. But now, let's turn to the Word of God and discover that today's knowledge explosion was foretold centuries ago. The prophet Daniel, in the fourth verse of his last chapter, predicted that at the time of the end, knowledge shall be increased. That's the way he put it in Daniel 12:4. Now, one scholar has translated this verse, "A sudden knowledge explosion will occur at the end of time." So this prophecy places us clearly in the time of the end. Knowledge is currently doubling at least every 10 years, and all printed materials about every 12 to 15 years. 35% of all Americans between 18 and 24 years of age, more than 7 million, are in university or college today. The American people list education as the topmost priority of all national projects and programs. It's virtually impossible to live well today without it. 80% of all the scientists in history are alive in the world today. There are 15,000 different scientific journals being published regularly, many with a worldwide circulation. 70% of the medicines used today have been developed since World War II. An ordinary credit card will soon have 420 items of information on it. The computer, just a few years old, is taking over the thinking role of millions of human beings. The latest ones can perform billions of transactions in 1 second. In about 5 years, we'll have a machine probably with the general intelligence of an average human being, and I'm talking about the ability to even think and reason. And then the machine will begin to educate itself at fantastic speed. In a few months, it'll be at genius level. A few months after that, its power will be incalculable, power to turn the world into a paradise or bring a holocaust, probably. Well, these are things, of course, that scientists are afraid of. We don't know whether it'll come to pass or not. In fact, that's one of the reasons that men and scientists are so afraid of the future, because they do not know what will happen when the computers become more and more intelligent and are able to actually turn upon themselves and increase their own wisdom and knowledge by utilizing the information that's been passed on to them by human beings. Now, in themselves, of course, stockpiles of information are neither good nor bad. It's a use that we put this knowledge to that really matters. Solomon said long, long ago, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning." And then he said, as long as the basis for that learning is, quote, "the fear of the Lord." But today, unfortunately, many moderns, God is just neither the beginning nor the end of knowledge. He's simply ignored by most of them. Indeed, if he's even admitted to be in existence at all. Paul wrote to the Romans that because they had not seen fit to acknowledge God, he had given them up to their own depraved reason. Why is it then that just when men are reaching the height of knowledge, it's imperative that Jesus Christ come again? As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge breeds conceit. And in the words of Jeremiah 10:41, every man is brutish in his knowledge. Now, we're only just now beginning to realize this. A team of scholars was commissioned by the United States government to prove that education lessens crime. To their complete surprise and disillusionment, the team announced 3 years and several hundred thousand dollars later that, as an outcome of their research, they had discovered that education, in fact, escalates crime. Man's need for the return of Christ is in direct proportion to his increase of knowledge. Another condition Daniel foresaw at the time of the end was that many shall run to and fro. Now, he was referring to the whole realm of human transportation. Travel at incredible speeds would carry men from one point to another in ever-shortening periods of time. Now, who could read this and not relate it to the events of today and the much more astonishing prospects for tomorrow? Who, a century and a half ago, could have imagined a world in which the steam engine, then the internal combustion engine, the electric motor, the jet engine, and now the thermonuclear fuel motor would propel men across the land and sea and up through the air as it's happening today? Automobiles are quite common now, but do you realize that about 90 years ago there were none at all and no airplanes? Do you realize that all the rapid travel and communication that we have today were unknown just a lifetime ago? There was no TV, no radio, no space travel. We barely had telephones at that time. And they certainly were not the efficient long-distance direct dialing model we use today. Now, what's the reason for all this sudden spurt in travel and communication in our age, friends? Have we suddenly become wiser than all our forefathers? Why is it that we roll down the highway at 70 and 80 miles per hour, but our grandparents walked at 4 miles per hour? Do we have more brains than grandfather had? I know it's common for us to disparage the old folks and to consider what they had and what they did to be old-fashioned and out of date, but how about intellectual strength? Do we have more than they had? How is it that Solomon, the wisest of all men, did not have automobiles, airplanes, and electricity? Why, Solomon didn't even have an electric shaver. His wives had no electric washers or dryers. In fact, no kitchen gadgets at all. Well, the answer to this riddle is found in Daniel 12:4. Here's what it says. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, when is this going to happen? In the time of the end, it says. The end of what? By the end of the world, that's what. Do you know that the Bible tells us over and over that this world is going to come to an end? Even apart from the Bible, people know that this world can't go on as it is today. They know that the nations such as this one and Russia have the potential to destroy each other, and in fact to destroy the entire world. So there's an end coming, friends, and it's not far off according to the signs given for it. Now, Daniel 12:4 gives us but two of the numerous signs given in God's book that we're living very near the end of this earth's history. One thing that takes place in the time of the end is that men run to and fro. Do we see that today? Yes, we do. By auto, airplane, bus, train, ships. People are traveling all over the world as never before in history. And make yourself realize that this has not always been the case. Much less than 90 years ago, the streets in our largest cities were almost entirely of mud. 1980, or rather 1910, farmers took their cotton to market by horse and wagon, and there were no refrigerators or freezers. Radios didn't come along until about 1925, and of course, there was no TV. Haircuts were a quarter, shaves were only 10 or 15 cents. Not only were men to run to and fro in the time of the end, but it says here in our prophecy that knowledge was to be increased. Now, do we see that today? We're living in the time of fulfilling prophecy, and we need to realize the meaning and significance of all these things we take for granted every day, thinking they've always been with us. But they haven't, friends. Fulton did not invent the steamship until 1803, and the steam railway did not come until 1825. Today, steam engines are in museums to be looked on as relics of this up-to-date generation. Photography was not invented until 1839, and there were no Polaroid cameras in those days either. Anesthesia came into use in 1846. Previous to that time, there was little or no surgery, and the few operations done were without benefit of anesthetics. Unless, of course, they used alcohol to get a person in a drunken stupor before beginning to saw on him or cut on him. Now, what do all these things mean? They mean that we are living in the last days of this world's history. And the next thing to take place is the second coming of Christ. Let's go back to Nero's time to consider mankind's technical progress. How fast could a man go back then? Well, he could go as fast as a horse could carry or pull him, and no faster. Through the 4,000 years of man's previous history, there was very little deviation. But moving through history, let's go ahead 15 centuries from Nero to where Columbus discovered America. How fast could man travel in Columbus' time? Well, whether he was the richest or the poorest man in the world made absolutely no difference, friends. He could travel only as fast as his horse could carry him, and no faster. But now, let's go ahead to the year 1776. That's a very important historical year. Every schoolboy knows that this was the year that Paul Revere made Longfellow famous. So in Paul Revere's time, history depended on the speed of an oat burner. American history could be made no faster than Paul Revere's horse could gallop. Yeah, we call that horse the oat burner. But in 1830, a tremendous thing happened. Unfortunately, there wasn't a good journalist around to report it, but that year, man broke the oat barrier for the first time. Man could move faster than the muscles and the digestive system of an animal. The iron horse came into existence. Now we're on the upswing. In 1910, we bought the first military airplane. The contract provided that the plane must do 40 miles per hour, or the contractor was to be discounted for each mile under 40. 10% off for 39, and another 10 if he only made 38 miles per hour. For the taxpayer's benefit, this first airplane met every single term of the contract, making the incredible speed of 42 miles per hour. Around World War I, there were some speeds of 100 miles an hour. Ralph DePalma on the racetrack and the Reading Railroad from Philadelphia to Atlantic City. Toward the end of World War I, we had speeds of 150 miles per hour. At the beginning of World War II, 200 miles was speed. And at the end of World War II, the fantastic speed of 470 miles per hour had been done, but it was a top secret. Then something marvelous happened. It was discovered that we didn't have to make progress the hard way. We didn't have to plod. Why not substitute inspiration for perspiration? All of a sudden, in 1945, we started making more progress in a week than we had previously made in a year. Speed zoomed up to 470 miles, blasted through the sound barrier. The sound barrier, of course, was merely an incident. Breaking the oat barrier was the beginning of technology. And today, of course, we talk about speeds of 25,000 miles per hour without batting an eye. Well, our time has gone from us, friends, and now this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.